Crimson Swan Studios presents Lilith's Love by Dan Charette. Read by the author. Monologue. Lilith's Kiss. And she came to me tonight, beautiful Lilith, my winged muse. She visited me like she has, off and on again for the last year. Tonight, she whispered to me, with a fever like none that I had heard before in her sweet voice, and she kissed me softly on my cheek. She whispered to me,
"Tonight, Daniel, my love, you shall finish your book. Tonight you will be done."
"But Lilith," I replied, worried, "I know I'm near the end, but I don't know how to end it, and I don't have an epilogue."
"I've seen your ending,"
she smiled gracefully.
"And it is perfect. I can show you. Let me?"
"Of course," I sighed. She knelt beside me at my desk, pushed her long red hair back, and kissed me like never before. Holding her tight in my arms, kissing those sweet lips, caressing her silky red locks, gazing into her silver eyes. I saw the actions of my players. I saw them interacting together, observing from afar, unnoticed by them once more. As I watched the story unfold, I knew how it should be told. And so Lilith's arms I left and took within a calming breath. Lilith's wings gently cooled me, as my monitor's glow soothed me, and within an hour's typing glory, I had the ending to my story. You may find that the having is not as pleasurable as the wanting. It may not be logical, but it is often true. Mr. Spock from Star Trek. Epilogue. McJournal entry for November 8th, 1993. Dear Diary, I just can't seem to sleep tonight, this morning, as it is about 2 a.m. as I write this. And I doubt that it's just a matter of excitement, though that is part of it. You see, it finally happened tonight. I was killed by a bullet in the chest, but Lilith's blood inside me brought me back as a vampire. I must admit that this rivals all of my expectations. I'm overwhelmed by my heightened senses. It's almost as if I'd been watching life through a gauzed camera lens, as if hearing it through muffled ears, as if smelling it with a stuffy nose, as if feeling through leather gloves, as if tasting with sugar-deadened taste buds. And tonight, all of those restrictions were lifted. But I'm not just reveling in improved senses, but enjoying two new senses. The sixth is a realization of what everyone considers the sixth sense, but this is beyond intuition. I can actually sense emotions from virtually everyone I encounter. And sometimes, when the message is strong enough in someone's thoughts, I can hear it. With Lilith, I actually have a telepathic link of sorts. Lilith told me that eventually I will even be able to read someone's mind when they aren't broadcasting. And I'll even be able to influence them, the way Mary Jane influenced Chris, and the Master in turn influenced Mary Jane. The other sense I have acquired is the ability to tell fellow vampires from humans. I wasn't sure how I knew at first, but slowly it dawned on me that I was naturally using my heightened senses to do it. I can hear a human's heartbeat. It has a wonderful rhythm. A vampire's heart beats as well, though very slowly, almost undetectably. I can also smell the blood flowing through a human. It's a very sweet, salty smell, and it circulates all around and within them. A vampire only smells of blood after he is fed. As I write this, Lilith's perfume permeates the room, and I think I might go mad from the wonderful smell of it. She is here, in my bed, watching me type this in the darkness of my room. I know that she knows what I'm typing, but it doesn't matter because we have no secrets. I write this down here only as a remembrance. Years, centuries from now, I will have this journal to remind me of how I became what I am now. Lilith told me that she regretted not keeping a journal of her own, but seeing me here, writing mine now, has inspired her, I think. Ah, that laugh tells me that I'm right. As for Chris and Anna, they are fine. A little shook up, of course, but fine. Chris is spending the night at Anna's while Lilith is over here keeping an eye on me. You know, I think this arrangement is going to be a lot better. Lilith likes the idea. I'm sure Chris wouldn't mind moving in with Anna. In fact, those two have gotten so close in just the last few hours together that I'm surprised he hasn't proposed to her yet. So, now what? What am I going to do for the rest of eternity? Well, besides spending my life in the arms of my beloved Lilith, I found a job. A night job as a bartender at the bar down the street. Michael, the owner, is another vampire friend of Lilith's, and he offered me the position. Did I mention that I helped to vacate the position? Jake was his nighttime bartender before. At any rate, I don't plan to be a bartender for the rest of my unlife. But in the meantime, I think it will be fun. Besides, for a while at least, I can't go to school. Lilith is sure that I'll eventually gain her immunity to direct sunlight, but she thinks that it could be a month or so. Until then, I'll be sleeping with the sunrise and waking with the sunset. Besides, who wants to put on sunscreen, wear sunglasses and a hat to go to school 5 days a week? Forget it. Night school, maybe. But until then, I'm going to enjoy this sabbatical, I think. You know, this may just be the answer to all of my dreams. The one I can remember, anyway. I've got the most beautiful woman in the world, whose love for me and mine for her will last forever. I finally got a reason to get out of school, and I finally got a job. I know my parents would be grateful at least for that last part. Oh my God, that just reminded me of something I saw when I died. Like the old cliche, I saw my whole life flashing before my eyes. I saw that tunnel of light, and I saw my parents. They seemed happy to see me, but they knew I wasn't going to be able to stay. They told me they missed me. They also told me who killed them. It was the Master himself. When they told me, my anger overcame the moment. Then I felt the pain. It felt like white-hot pokers ripping through me, burning away every fiber of my being. Then, in a flash of brilliant white light, the tunnel disappeared, and I was pulled back into my body. Lilith says what I really heard was the Master telling her how he planned everything so deviously, down to the detail of killing my parents, so I'd ask Chris to move in with me. But I swear, I saw them. I saw the light. I was there. She says she believes me, and I believe her. Mom, Dad, if I thought it were possible to bring you back with me, I would have tried. Honest, I miss you both so much. I need a shoulder to cry on now, and Lilith's providing me one. So, I'll talk to you later, Diary. McJournal 2.0 Diary Entry for Donovan McElroy. Entered September 29th, 1994 at 11:47 p.m. Dear Diary, my God, a year has almost passed by since my last entry. Either I am getting truly lazy, or immortality really does play havoc with a vampire's sense of timing. I'm writing to update you on, practically, my first year as a vampire. I still haven't gone back to school. I'm making enough money as a bartender to be comfortable. Any time that I really needed any funds, Lilith was quick to offer assistance. This only happened once. I bought a new multimedia Pentium-based computer. As a result, I am typing this entry into version 2.0 of McJournal. Speaking of which, Lilith has started using McJournal to keep her own diary. She plans to not only keep up-to-date entries, but she wants to write down the events that have shaped her undead life these last 301 years. I look forward to peering over her shoulder as she writes away. Anna and Chris recently remodeled their kitchen in the old house next door. Lilith paid for the renovation as a wedding gift. Yes, they finally got hitched, their way. They hand-fasted in a small ceremony in the temple down in their basement. Not many people were invited, seeing as how space was limited. But of course, Lilith and I were there, as were all 5 members of their new coven. Yes, they decided to start their own coven, Shadows of the Blue Moon, named in my honor. As for me, I haven't really changed much in a year. I still haven't developed the ability to enter sunlight, or even to be awake during the daytime, but Lilith continues to assure me that it will happen. Since I only take blood from her, and a drink or two at work every now and then, she believes that it will inevitably happen. I hope so. Not that I don't like the night. I have grown extremely fond of the shadows. They seem to have a life all of their own. Everyone lets their hair down and just has fun as they try to forget about their troubles of the day. As for my hunger for blood, it seems to slowly increase month by month. Whenever I need to feed, Lilith is always there to provide for me. But it is more than nourishment that she willingly gives. I do worry, though. I worry, what will happen when the hunger rises and Lilith isn't here? She knows the possibility exists and has taught me how to hunt in the shadows and how not to leave marks or memories. I worry that while in a blood frenzy, that I might accidentally kill for blood. She's taught me how to keep my head about me and know when to stop so that they still have enough to keep them alive. Drink from more than one if the hunger demands more, she said. But will I be able to control the beast within? Do you know what I'm worried most about? If I should give in to the bloodlust and kill for blood, I'm afraid to be too close to anyone I know, especially Chris or Anna. I'm still the same old Dawn, but what kind of monster might I be inside? For the blood is the life, and blood is the only thing that will satisfy the hunger of the beast. Be careful what you wish for. What did I wish for? I wished for Lilith's kiss. Lilith's love, light, and peace are what I find in Lilith's kiss. You've been listening to the final episode of Lilith's Love, a novel written and read by Dan Charette. I would like to take a minute before everything wraps up here and say I want to give my most heartfelt thanks to everyone who gave voice to characters in this production. It's a long list, bear with me, but I want to give everyone their props. Carl Long as Christian Armstrong, Michelle Selly as Lilith Thompson, Danny Cutler as Anna Foster, Jack Mangan as Michael Barrett, Jack Hosley as Jake, C.J. Feyerabend as Mary Jane Hill, Dan Feyerabend as The Master, Bob Gallagher as Malcolm, Chris Lester as Joe the Bartender, Paul Mackey as Rob Stevens, J. Daniel Sawyer as the Border Guard, TD0013 as the Patrolman, Evo Terra as George Schaefer, Jelaine Jones as New Age Girl, Jose Carradero as Lord Jonathan, Robin Hudson as Lady Katia, and Nukchus as the waitress. Without the kind volunteering of time by those folks, this production would never have happened. My appreciation and thanks go out to the members of the Narrow Way, who gave me permission so long ago to use their song Deranged in the novel and in this production. The opening theme music is from their song Freedom of Movement. Though the band has scattered and moved on, their music lives on. I still love it, and am happy to be able to share some of it with you all here. All other music loops and sound effects were provided courtesy of the Free Sound Project, which can be found at freesound.org. And finally, thank you to all of you for listening and having the patience in too many cases to wait for each episode. I hope you've all enjoyed the podcast version of the novel. It has been a wonderful and often arduous experiment. In the end, I'm glad I did it, and I look forward to podcasting more fiction in the future, taking all the lessons I've learned into account. If you would like to hear a podcast all about vampires, featuring myself and my fiancée Michelle, who did the voice of Lilith, please stop by the Out of the Coffin podcast at outofthecoffin.com. This audio recording is copyright 2009 and 2010 by Dan Charette and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.5 license. You are encouraged to share this audio file. Just don't sell it, don't change it, and let folks know where they can hear more. The novel, Lilith's Love, is copyright 1994 by Dan Charette and can be found at Amazon.com or ordered at fine bookstores everywhere. This is a work of fiction. All names, characters, places, and incidents are either the product of the author's peculiar imagination or are used fictitiously. Any resemblance to any actual persons, living, dead, or undead, events, or locales is entirely coincidental. To find out more about the novel, please visit www.liliths-love.com or the author's homepage at www.danscharette.com. That's DanShurette.com.